Hi everyone, it's Grace. Before we start our episode, I want to tell you about two things. First, the Where the Mountain Meets the Moon trilogy calendar I've been working on is finally out. It's available from the Eric Carle Museum bookstore, and if you purchase a book of mine at the same time, you'll get 10% off. The link is in the show notes. The second thing is that my other podcast, Kids Ask Authors, now has a Patreon page. Even if you don't listen to that podcast, becoming a patron helps this podcast too, since I produce both of them, and support would be greatly appreciated. And if you become a patron of that podcast, there are some really great perks, like the exclusive Random Question podcast only for patrons. On that podcast, I ask authors extremely random questions with always interesting answers. Don't you want to know what food Jason Reynolds can't bring himself to eat? Or what Jacqueline Woodson always buys at the grocery store? Become a patron of Kids Ask Authors to find out. The link is also in the show notes. Thanks so much, and now on to our episode.
Hi, I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lynn.
And we're Book Friends Forever.
We're childhood friends that grew up to be
a children's book editor
and an author and illustrator.
Welcome to Book Friends Forever, the Silver Linings episode. Every week, we catch up with each other's lives, talk about what's on our minds, and share with each other what we're grateful for.
And check out our website, bookfriendsforever.com. The website includes more detailed show notes as well as links to the episodes.
And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy our podcast, please tell a friend about it.
Also, please fill out our survey. You can find it on our website and on our social media. We'd really like to hear what you have to say. Anyway, Alvina, how have you been?
I've been okay. I just have been feeling like today feels like a weird week for some reason. And I think maybe it's because the Thanksgiving holiday is coming up. As we're recording this, this is Monday, November 16th. So actually when this airs, it will be the day, I guess it will be Thanksgiving, unless we air this on on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving or the Friday after. We'll see.
We're not very consistent these days.
As we said last episode, we've been a little bit inconsistent lately. But I've been good. I took Friday off, so I had a 3-day weekend, and I did not check email at all. I did a little bit of editing, but that felt good. But I'm kind of drowning in work right now, so I probably couldn't really have afforded to take a day off, and I'm actually taking a week off the week after Thanksgiving. Ooh. So I have to lead up to that as well, because I am a big advocate for taking all of the vacation time you can. But that also means that then I have a lot of work to do.
So you have more work to do because you're going to take that vacation, is that?
Exactly. Yeah, it was kind of like when I got burnt out heading into my sabbatical. I needed the sabbatical to recover from all that work. But, that's okay.
What's the biggest thing that's on your to-do list?
I am finishing up some editing. So that is the biggest to-do. I finished going through the novel that I'm editing.
What is it?
I need to kind of think
Can
about
you say?
It. I will mention that it is the second novel by Emily X.R. Pan.
Oh, okay. That's exciting.
Yes. just kind of finalizing different things, different deals, I'm still acquiring books. I kind of wish I could just stop until next year, but, agents still send stuff. So
is there a rush to get deals done before the end of the year?
I think there are. I think some agents probably have certain goals, in terms of the year, having a certain number of sales during the year. So we have been feeling, I think also because this was such a weird year with the pandemic, it just feels like we're getting so many more submissions right now. And then I know some publishers might have kind of, they might also be trying to sign up books before the end of the year because it might affect, their budget for what they can sign up the next year. Little Brown is not like that, but I have heard that other publishers are. You know, and then sometimes authors want to get paid, you know, so I feel like now selling something now, it would be a rush to get a contract and then finalized and then signed and then paid before the end of the fiscal year. So that maybe that rush is over. But I think there are some authors who are trying to get paid this year.
So when is like, okay, because there's all these kind of like rumors like, oh, it's a slow time. Nobody buys anything in the summertime, you know, like, so is it true? Like summer is slow, nothing gets bought, then fall it's really busy and that's when a lot of deals are made. Like, is all of that true or not?
Yeah, I think it's relatively true. I mean, summer can be a little bit quieter in terms of, I think, because agents often will hold their kind of a lot of projects to send out in, like, say, after Labor Day. And it's more because of, they know editors have vacations and publishers go on vacation. And so you're kind of working around. So if you're trying to, say, drum up a lot of excitement to drum up an auction, then you might want to wait till the fall when, you know, there aren't so many vacation schedules that you're kind of working around. But, you know, that, like, but for example, Lev Grossman's The Silver Arrow, that was sent in the middle of July. So that's, you know, there are always exceptions.
So is the winter considered like January, February, March? Is that considered slow? And then spring?
No,
if I were
to kind of guess, I would say the busiest month is September, and then probably January also, you know, because I think, you know, if it's like, oh, new year, and here's, you know, here are our submissions. So,
And the slowest months, what would you say?
August is probably the slowest month for sure, because a lot of people take 2 weeks off in August.
Oh, interesting.
And by then, if you have something ready in August, you might as well just wait till September to send it.
Hmm. Well, good to know. Yeah. When I become an agent.
How about you? How have you been?
You know, pretty good, actually. I think that with the election over, mostly, I mean, as much as we have any control over, I guess, I feel like that's a big weight lifted, and I kind of feel like, okay, I can concentrate and I can try to get some work done, you know, and, you know, but it's also really busy now for me because, speaking of trying to get stuff done, like, I'm trying to get my new website done. I'm like a holiday newsletter, and I just opened an Etsy shop, like all this stuff basically for like hoping that I can partake in everybody's holiday shopping and that people will purchase things that I've made. So like it's like a big rush of trying to do all that too. So from the other end, I can see why it's so busy. That's always kind of part of, I think, juggling when you're sole entrepreneur.
Right.
But I kind of enjoy them in a weird way. Like, I think it makes me feel like I'm doing something. Like, it's a lot of it's like power, right? It makes me feel like I'm advocating for myself. So it's not like depressing. Whereas like when I was thinking about the election, it was just so depressing. And it was such a way. So it was like, whatever I do, it does nothing. So like, that's how I felt.
Yeah.
So
it's very concrete, these things, you know, like to accomplish.
Yeah. So I don't really mind them so much. And maybe that's kind of a blessing of the election, because maybe before this, maybe I might have resented it so much, but now it feels like, oh, this is a task that I can do that feels productive. So maybe that's a
ties
silver
into today's
lining.
Episode. Yeah, this ties into today's episode's theme of silver linings. So we thought we'd discuss times in our life when negative or bad things happen to us, but that we either found a silver lining or the thing actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
Alvina, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I think one thing that has been on my mind when I think about this topic are, you know, relationships and breakups. You know, the fact that I'm here in Vermont and that I've met Stephen, you know, I could not have met him if I hadn't gone through all of the bad things in terms of my relationship, you know, that led me here. So I think breakups is a specific one. So at the start of the pandemic, or close to the start of the pandemic, you know, I had mentioned dating, right? Even when everything was shutting down, and mostly, you know, I mean, I was just meeting people online and having video dates. And I actually had ended up, I guess, dating someone for about 2 months. And, you know, I think we're both kind of overwhelmed by the pandemic and kind of clinging to each other as support, and it kind of burned out. But it was, you know, at the time I was very hopeful. And so the fact that it ended, you know, made me a little discouraged. And then I went back on the apps and swiped. And I remember I actually ran out of matches on Bumble. Like it said, there are no more matches that match your criteria. And I thought, wow, even on this like app, I've run out of people. And I thought maybe I just need to take a break from dating and just focus on work. And then that's when I met Steven. So I feel like that is a classic example of silver lining.
Yeah, it's such the classic example of like, you couldn't meet Steven without breaking up with the past boyfriends. You know, like as much as you maybe wanted those relationships to work out, if you had kept working out, trying to work it out, you wouldn't be where you are right now, which is so interesting and really heartening, I think, to me.
Yeah. And I think the other element is the fact that there was a pandemic going on, and the fact that I am working from home right now, that led to me having this opportunity to be living and working in Burlington right now with Steven, you know, who has to be here to take care of his father. You know, so all of that is definitely not that I would ever wish the pandemic upon any of us, but that is a silver lining of having that this time. Like I would not have this opportunity to live in a different city, enjoy the fall of New England, and, you know, start my life with Steven. So that's definitely a silver lining of the pandemic.
Yeah, it's such an interesting thing when we talk about silver linings, because I remember, you know, every once in a while as a parent, you'll have some moments that are just so perfect, right? Or so beautiful or so wonderful. Like, and they could be really small moments, you know, just like my daughter, like reaching to hold my hand or just like eating cookies together or something. And every once in a while, something like that will happen and it'll hit me like, this is such a lovely moment. And then the next thought I'll have is like, for this moment to happen, like Robert had to die, all mm-hmm. these things, all these like terrible things happened had for me to come to this perfect moment. And it's always such a strange feeling.
Right. I mean that, you know, this thinking about this topic also reminded me of that Chinese, I don't know if it's a folktale or a fable, that I think you included it. Was it in the When the Sea Turned to Silver about mm-hmm. the good luck, bad luck, who knows? That Zen
yes.
story?
Uh-huh. So that is that's a really famous Chinese fable that I think probably our listeners might already know, but just in case they don't know it, I'll recount it. So there's a story about this farmer who has a horse, and one day his horse runs away. So all his neighbors said, oh, so sorry, bad luck. And the farmer says, maybe, maybe not. And then the next day, the horse comes back, and the horse comes back with a mate. So there's two horses. And everyone said, oh my gosh, your horse came back, and now you have two horses. You are so lucky. What good luck. And he says, maybe, maybe not. And so the next day after that, his son decides he wants to tame this new wild horse. And so he tries to ride the new wild horse. He's thrown off and he breaks his leg. And all the neighbors say, oh, poor, poor you, poor son. Oh, what bad luck. And the farmer says, maybe, maybe not. And so the son has a broken leg. And soon after, the emperor's troops come into town and they say every man of a certain age must come and fight the war for the emperor. And they take all the men, all the young men of the village, except for the farmer's son, because he has a broken leg and is of no use. And everyone said, wow, you're so lucky. And the farmer says, maybe, maybe not. So it's kind of that idea that you never know what's good luck and what's bad luck.
Yeah, I absolutely love that story, because I also think there's no direct correlation. I mean, in the story, in a way, there is a direct correlation mm-hmm. between the bad things that happen and the positive things. But I think in real life, there's not really a straight line, I think, from, you know, like, I guess you can and you can't say like, oh, if the pandemic wasn't happening, I might not have met Steven. I mean, I feel like we talked about this before, about like if he had stayed in Brooklyn, then we might have met in Brooklyn, right? And we might not be in Burlington. We might just be hanging out in Brooklyn right now. So it's hard to kind of know what leads to the silver lining. But I think it's just a lesson to always find the silver lining and try to stay positive, because the worst thing could turn into something beautiful. So,
yeah. I also think it's also kind of a, I was just thinking about when I was talking about having perfect moments with my daughter, right? And my first thought was like, oh, for this perfect moment to happen, you know, Robert had to die, and which is not really a direct correlation, but it's also the idea that you have to embrace the joy, right? So kind of like, I remember at the National Book Awards when The Sea Turned to Silver was up for the award, and I can't remember who gave the speech, but the one line that I will always remember is she said, you know, joy is an act of resistance. So I think like, not only is it an act of resistance, but it's something that you should always embrace whenever you have the chance. So,
yeah, for sure. So, you know, last week we were talking about imprints, and one thing that I neglected to mention is that, of course, when imprints close, then people lose their jobs, or, you know, potentially. And in the case of both Jimmy and Imprint, I do know that quite a few people are being laid off. And, you know, I think it remains to be seen if this will become, you know, a blessing in disguise for those employees. But I do know that a lot of the coworkers I have, or people I know who have been laid off, they always say it turned out to be a blessing in disguise.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, but it all, you know, it remains to be seen, and it all depends.
I think that's another typical story about like how things turn into a blessing in disguise. I mean, actually that happened to me, you know, because when I first graduated art school, you know, I really wanted to be an illustrator, and I kept sending out postcards of my art, hoping that someone would hire me to illustrate a book, and nobody did. And so I had to take a full-time job. And I remember the job I got was designing giftware and t-shirts and mugs, you know, t-shirts that said like world's best dad, you know, and like mugs that said like, did you anyone ever tell you you're terrific? And like, it was like on the computer in this really small dark cubicle, and I was so miserable there. But it was a quote unquote real job, and I was getting health insurance and I was getting a salary, you know, but I was not being an illustrator, which was really my dream. But I stayed at that job because it was paying the bills, it was doing all those things. And I remember about, I think I was there for about 2 years. And at the end of 2 years, I was laid off. Another company had kind of took over it, and they didn't need it. They were moving to Kalamazoo, Michigan, and they were laying off the Boston employees. And it was really then that my career kind of took off, honestly, because with that small severance that they gave me, I was like, okay, I'm going to really try to make my way as an illustrator. And I went to New York City, which I had always been kind of intimidated to go to before. And I like met with art directors, and I showed them my portfolio, and I sent out more and more samples. And slowly, it didn't happen right away, but that's when I started really making an effort in breaking into the industry. So,
yeah, that's definitely a silver lining.
Yeah. So if I hadn't gotten laid off, I wouldn't be where I am now. So, because, you know, when I think about that, you know, with my parents being immigrants, and, you know, it's so important to them that, you know, I have stability and I can pay my bills, you know, like in financial security and all that stuff. Like, that's been like hammered into me since, you know, the day I was born. And so I think about that and I realize, you know, I probably would never have left that job on my own because of all those fears about financial stability and all those things. And so it really was a blessing that they laid me off. Like, I probably would not have had the courage to do it by myself. So,
right. That was that little push you needed.
Mm-hmm.
There are two examples that I've been thinking about recently in light of the election results. And one was, I had shared that story about, you know, Stephen's niece and representation, and how that's so important in terms of Kamala Harris being chosen and elected as our vice president. And, you know, it made me think, like, okay, so, you know, and this is, so Hillary Clinton lost the presidential election 4 years ago. And then we had to go through this terrible, I'm just trying to think of silver linings with the Trump presidency. So we went through this terrible 4 years, which I wish we hadn't. But I do think as a result, you know, it became important to, you know, if we didn't have a, you know, a woman on the head of the ticket, that definitely there be a woman VP. And I also think that the protests, you know, as a result of all, you know, George Floyd's murder earlier this year, I think that those protests specifically led to Biden choosing a woman of color as his running mate. I think if, you know, people had talked about how Amy Klobuchar or maybe even Elizabeth Warren, or there were other women who were in the running, but I do feel like all of that, everything that was going on in our country, you know, earlier this year led him to choose Kamala Harris. And I do think that representation of a woman of color is so important. So yeah. I choose to see that as a silver lining. Silver lining is, so Stacey Abrams, you know, she lost the governor race 2 years ago and saw kind of how messed up the whole election system was in Georgia. And she founded the organization Fair Fight. And ultimately, I mean, a lot of people, most people are crediting her in helping to flip Georgia for the Democrats. I think it's just a kind of a lesson that when something terrible happens, we all have to work together to make it, to make it something positive.
Yeah.
To make something positive come out of it. So, you know, for example, like police brutality. I mean, if the result is ending systemic racism in the United States, then that would be definitely a positive to come out of the negative.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's lots of smaller examples, like personal examples. Like, this is a story I tell kids a lot. After I got my very first book published, you know, I was like, I'm a writer, I can write now. And I remember, like, I wrote another picture book manuscript, and I was like, this manuscript's great, I love it. This will be my next book. It's gonna be so good. It's gonna be like, it's even better than the first one. And I remember I sent it to the editor, and the editor's like, no, I don't think this is right. And I was like, what? How can you not like this? This is awesome. And so I was, all right, I'll send it someplace else. And like, I sent it to another place, and I sent it to another place, and another place, and got rejected from all these places. And I was like, oh, these people, they don't understand. These editors don't know what they're missing. And I said, oh, well. And I put it in a drawer, and then I wrote another manuscript. And then, you know, years and years passed, and I got more books published. And I remember thinking, like, oh, I should take that old manuscript out and see and show it. And now, I bet you they'll publish it now. And so I went to the drawer, took out the old manuscript, and I read it over, and I realized it was horrible. It was like the absolute worst story ever. I was really lucky that nobody ever published that story. Like, if someone had published that story, it probably would have been the end of my career. It was so bad. So when you get a negative, it's sometimes a positive for your overall career.
Right.
So I always think about that now.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess it's kind of like what you learn from these experiences too. Something else that I was thinking about was the fact that, you know, in earlier in my career, I had, I've had books that have been kind of deemed like the book to win, whether it be, you know, the Caldecott or something, and having that expectation and feeling like, oh gosh, you know, like you just feel like if that doesn't happen, then you're going to be crushed. And of course it usually does not happen. But it helps make it that much sweeter, I think, when you do win something. But it kind of puts everything in perspective and just reminds you of, like, okay, well, you know, I know that nothing is guaranteed. I know even if everyone thinks that this is going to be the winner, that doesn't mean anything. And, you know, so it's happened multiple times. And every time it happens, it becomes that much easier, I think, to deal with, which I don't know. Maybe it's like a help to... It helps me manage anxiety in a way. I mean, you know, I've talked about that a little bit also with when it came to, you know, losing Greg, I think the silver lining in terms of anxiety that came out of it, and I think we talked about this in terms of like what, I guess, what is turning points, I think. Mm-hmm. So it definitely made me just more, I don't know, more okay with whatever happened,
yeah.
Right? It's like, well, I can't control it. You know, the worst thing that I thought could ever happen to me in terms of relationships happened, and I survived, and I can survive anything. So, you know, I think that's always a silver lining.
Yeah.
For negatives.
Yeah, you know, Robert dying also changed a lot of things for me. I've been listening to Gretchen Rubin's book, The Four Tendencies, right? And so they talk about mm-hmm. how there's four different kind of tendencies where you're an obliger, which means you really work hard to uphold other people's expectations. And then there's an upholder, which you uphold your inner expectations. And then there's like the questioner, who will only uphold expectations after they've exhausted their knowledge of it. And then there's like a rebel who won't follow anybody's expectations, inner or outer. And I was thinking about how when I was with Robert, I think I was an obliger, where like I was really working hard to fulfill outer expectations, you know, like the expectations of my parents, expectations of other people. And I feel like after Robert died, I think I became kind of more of an upholder. It was kind of like, you know what, I can't meet these people's expectations anymore. Like I don't have time for that. Like, I think it started, in some ways, maybe it made me more selfish, but I think in a good way, like it was just like, you know, I have a limited amount of time here. I need to do what's important to me, you know, like, so, and that was I think a really good thing for me as a person overall. I think otherwise I would have spent a lot more time being unhappy and resentful of what my life was becoming.
Yeah, that's kind of beautiful. And now I wonder what kind of person I am of those four. I'm not sure.
I think you're an upholder because you fulfill your inner expectations, like you're really goal oriented. You don't need other people to set goals for you to accomplish them. Like you set
that's
your own
true.
Goals and you do it. Though you probably have a questioner tendency, I think, where it's like you like to know everything before you set your goal. So. Mm.
So. Interesting. Well, this, and maybe we can end on this quote. So this topic reminded me of this quote that I've mentioned, I think, on the podcast before. And I first came across it when I watched the movie Jojo Rabbit. And it ended on this quote. And I just really love this quote. And it's by Rainer Maria Rilke. I never know how to pronounce that. And the quote is, "Let everything happen to you, beauty and terror. Just keep going. No feeling is final." And that kind of goes with the good luck, bad luck, who knows. It's like, you know, you'll have terrible things and you just keep going. And then you'll have good things and you just keep going. So
that's stoicism in a nutshell.
That's the message. Just keep going. No feeling is final. All right. And now we'll end as we always do with what we're grateful for. And I'll start this week. I am grateful for Comfort TV. So, you know, there's a new season of Great British Baking Show that's been on Netflix. And actually, this is the first time that I've been watching it, like, as it comes out, because I feel like in the past, you just get the whole season at once and you can binge watch it. So this time, they're just dropping new episodes on Fridays, at least here in the States. And that's such a great comforting show that I've mentioned before. And then another show that Stephen introduced me to is Grand Designs, which is, it's a British show, and they follow families in, you know, whether it's Scotland, like Isle of Skye, or in London, and they follow them as they build a house. And it could be like a tiny house, or it could be a huge grand, actually, they're mostly grand homes, hence the title Grand Designs, but it's such a wonderful show. So, and then the final comfort watch is, I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but so Stephen's father, Bob, he loves Hallmark movies. I had never seen a Hallmark movie either, but now I have seen quite a few. So almost every evening he watches a Hallmark movie, and sometimes more than one. And on the evenings that I'm free, I'll join him. And they're just, you know, they're very comforting because you know, sometimes Stephen and I will jokingly try to guess what happens at the end, but you know, it's kind of like romance novels. Of course, they end with the couple together, mm-hmm. right? So it's comforting in that sense. And it's just kind of a nice thing. So like whenever there's music, actually it's been all Christmas all the time, basically starting in October, like every night is a different Christmas movie. And whenever there's a Christmas carol that plays, Stephen and I will start singing along loudly. And at one point, Stephen's dad said, "You guys were made for each other."
You guys are a Hallmark movie yourself. True.
So what are you grateful for?
Okay, so I'm grateful for a couple of things. The first thing that I'm really grateful for is my savings. Like, it's been a long time for me not to do any school visits. And I know we did a whole episode about, like, how an author and illustrator makes money and how basically, you know, I have two income streams and a big income stream is the school visits. And that basically was all wiped away through the pandemic. And so you know, it's not a lot of income coming in, which is why, you know, I've been doing all these kind of other things like calendars and the Etsy shop, like I mentioned earlier. But the main thing has been living off of our savings. And as much as like I get anxious about it, like I always have to like flip it every time I start getting anxious. Like instead of being like, no, don't be like that. This is what savings is for. And instead, I want to be grateful that I have it. Like, because there's a lot of people who don't have the savings to cushion these kind of things. And I'm really grateful that I do have it. And I'm also kind of hoping by saying I'm grateful, it will stop my, or at least lessen my anxiety about using it.
Mm. Yeah, no, but it's true. That is what savings are for.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any time to use it, this is the time, right? So that's one thing that I'm grateful for. The other thing that I'm really grateful for is my daughter's creativity because, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up and so is Christmas. And, you know, we are not going to be seeing any family or friends in person, really, but we're still trying to figure out ways to make it feel special. So Thanksgiving dinner, we're just having alone, three of us, but in the past, I usually ran this thing called the Turkey Trot. We would go over to my sister's place in Saratoga on Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, and then early Thanksgiving Day, we would run this Turkey Trot 5K, and that was a tradition for a while until last year because I hurt my knee and I couldn't run. And because I couldn't run, we had to cancel me running the Turkey Trot. And my daughter was really kind of disappointed that I wasn't running the Turkey Trot because she always got excited. She always made me a medal and everything like that because I finished it. So she said, well, how about instead of the Turkey Trot, we will do the Chicken Run. And so she created this little obstacle course where you like have a egg and a spoon and then you run around the chicken coop five times. You remember that? And then, yes, yeah. Yes, you came to our first Chicken Run, right?
It was really fun.
And so we are having our second annual Chicken Run this year. It'll be our pod friends, so we're going to do the Chicken Run with them. You know, like, we'll do the Chicken Run. We'll have, like, little, like, outdoor cookies and cocoa, and then we'll go in and have – then everybody will go their own way and have Thanksgiving dinner. But it's just, like, a little something special to make it feel like a more special day. And, like, we've also been thinking ahead to Christmas, and we've decided we're going to have, like, a chicken – Christmas celebration. We're gonna like put like a tree in the Chicken Run, and we're gonna invite her friends from the pod over and decorate it for the chickens and then sing Christmas carols to the chickens. So we're like thinking, you know, just like ways that we can do things outside with the people that we're safe with, you know, to make the day more special. And I just think it's like, you know, it's kind of fun, this kind of like outside of the box thinking. So I'm really grateful that she's thinking that way, and it's like the silver lining of
exactly that's what yes, I was thinking. She's finding the silver
yes,
lining.
Yes, exactly. It was like finding the silver lining for the restrictions of this pandemic. So I hope everybody mm-hmm. finds the silver lining.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Hachette Audio, Little Brown Books for Young Readers, and Alex at PC Work Studio for producing and editing this podcast. You can find me at Planet Alvina on Twitter and at Alvina Ling on Instagram.
And I'm at Pacey Lin on both platforms. We love hearing feedback, so keep tagging and messaging us on social media using the hashtag BookFriendsForever, or send us a message via our website, BookFriendsForever.com. You can also see more detailed show notes there.
And if you have any suggestions for future topics to cover, please let us know. And of course, please remember to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you like this podcast, please tell a friend about it.
And please don't forget to fill out the survey. Whatever you write will affect how this podcast is going to be in the future.
Right. And I'm Alvina Ling.
And I'm Grace Lin.
Have a great week.
And don't forget to read.
Bye. Bye.